Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast. I'm Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where we solve challenging technology issues for growing businesses. We are the leading customer-focused, community-involved expert technology consultants. Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast, the podcast where top industry leaders and executives share their insights, challenges, and game-changing strategies that drive innovation and business growth. I'm your host, Bo Jenkins. I'm the founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants. Each episode, we spotlight visionary leaders shaping the future, diving into critical decisions, leadership philosophies, and breakthrough moments that have propelled them to success. Today, I have Andre Savoy, the founder of Saltwater Marketing, to discuss his journey in digital marketing for outdoor and lifestyle brands. Andre, welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we go way back. I was thinking about that while I was looking at your site and trying to get prepped for the podcast. Probably close to 20 years now, I think. Yeah. But I know we both share a love of fishing, and I've enjoyed your journey here with what you're doing with Saltwater Marketing. Tell me, what inspired you to specialize in digital marketing for the outdoor saltwater brands?
Truthfully, it was getting burned out doing what I was doing before. And so for 17 years, I ran an agency that served a lot of different clients in a lot of different verticals. And we did a good job. We had a good business, but I really got burned out. And what I found, there was like this core thing that I got on calls with clients, and my personal interest in what they were doing underneath was waning. And I think that's where I was like, what do I really want to be talking about all day? And I had some clients all the way back to when I first started that other agency that were in, they were charter captains. And every time those guys would call, I'd just smile when I saw them on their phone, talk about their website, get on their stuff, look at their things, and just, hey, what's going on while you're... And that joy was really what I think I was missing in my business. And when I went through this transition 2 years ago with the other agency where I stepped away from it, I really had to challenge myself in my early 50s is, what do I want to do and what do I want to be talking about all day? And that joy of talking about fishing and outdoors and learning about areas where I've never been has really like re-sparked my desire to help and do that and be in the space for that. So it's really been an interesting journey of tapping into and just honoring what your spirit and body is trying to tell you, like what you're supposed to be doing with yourself or at this stage without having to say what you should have done later or before or any of that stuff. So
I love that. It reminds me of the saying, do what you love and you'll never work another day in your life.
Yep. Exactly.
You use the term agency, and I might have jumped the gun a little bit. Step back and tell us, you know, when you say agency, what do you mean? What are you doing for these guys out on the water every day trying to book trips? What is an agency and what do you do?
Yeah, so traditional marketing agency is where people go when they want help with marketing their business. Our prior agency that I ran served primarily local business clients, a lot of different niches. But then this one for saltwater marketing really is more focused just on businesses that do business on the saltwater. So charter captains, guides, lodges, we've got dive shops, we've got pretty much anybody that's got doing business on the water has been a good fit for us. And the reason that we picked that is because the things that go on with those businesses mean that they've got to reach tourists that are coming in from out of the area who are booking ahead of time, or they've got to be present when people locally are there and they're like, hey, let's go do something. So they're looking for somebody. So that whole process of being visible and being ready to take people through the journey of getting introduced to their business, to booking, to coming back and doing it year over year has enough consistency to where we've been able to really stop focusing on all kinds of different things and really just narrow down on that journey and get really good at that. And that's been the evolution of kind of going from doing lots of different things to mostly working on one thing all day. And that's where we've gotten a lot better by just by streamlining what we focused on.
You mentioned the evolution. That's a good segue into my next question for you. I think I may know the answer to this, but as the digital marketing landscape continues to evolve, what trends are you keeping an eye on and how are you saltwater marketing adapting to the changes and those trends? I may know the answer because I think we both talked to this to our clients ad infinitum here lately. What are you seeing?
Ad infinitum. Nice job there. AI.
There you go.
AI. AI is the hot topic of conversation. Like I mentioned to you before, I think I'm going to write a book that says, why is AI so hard when it's supposed to be so easy? And I personally have spent a lot of time looking at how do we implement things and what can it do? Because I think the question with AI is that, can it do something? The answer is yes, right? It can do whatever we want. But the question really is, what does it take to develop that to where it becomes something that you can use and get value from, and that your business gets value from, and your customers will see value from? And I think you probably have had this thing in the IT space forever. It's like, can you do something on the IT side? The answer is yes. The question is, do you want to pay for it? You know, and then if you do want to pay for it, will you ever get your money back? So the crazy thing with AI to me is how easy it is to do badly with it, because it's, you go to ChatGPT and ask it anything, and it's, if you're busy and you're not really looking that closely at a first glance, it looks like, oh, this is awesome. It gave me whatever. But what happens is, when you wind up looking at it, the output, it's really not what you would do. It has elements of what you would do, but it's not what you would do. And I think that's where making it do something the way you would do it in a process that has a good outcome, that's where the tricky part, I think, has been. And I think that's getting it to do something useful is much more expensive and complex of a process than anyone would lead you to believe. And that's where what I've observed, and that's been a really fascinating kind of journey. What are you seeing up to that? Is that kind of what, would you agree with that assessment, or what's?
Yeah, the Q&A part of it, the chat response part of AI, is really interesting. And I think that just scratches the surface for a lot of people. What I've seen recently is the actual agentic AI, where you're actually making an AI employee, so to speak, do work for you and your business without any instruction. So you can take different pieces of data from your business, feed it into AI, and have AI instruct and act on that and feed it back into your systems. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. And it takes a good bit of expertise in order to, across multiple systems, not just knowing AI. You have to know how to move data in and out of systems, how APIs work, and you have to make AI do what you want it to do and then test it, because you don't know what it's going to come up with in the end. Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. It's on the surface, encouraging all of my clients to touch on it, to work with it, to become familiar with it. But underneath, what it's really powerful at takes a little work, a little effort. I think that's what
it's significant work, I think, because a couple things. So number one, as a marketing consultant for 20 years, I think the one thing I've tuned into is that the reason that people choose BridgeNet over some other competitor in town when they're looking at work ultimately has to do with what the business is about, right? So what your brand stands for, and that's a message. There's a message, there's a feeling behind that, that yours is different from somebody else's. And that's been the job for 20 years as a marketing consultant, is to bring that to the front. When you go and use AI tools, if the AI tools get the accurate part right, that you're in the IT business and you do this and you do that part, is fine. But if they lose the part that makes you unique or different, then it becomes noise and it hurts at that point. And so that's been the interesting thing to me, is that a computer does it quickly and accurately, but not necessarily well. And when I say, I'm talking about from catching that brand voice. And so here, I'll tell you a quick funny story. We've been training our content part of our business for about 2 months. And I personally have been beating on this daily, a couple of hours a day, to really train and refine this content writing part of what we do. And I'm really proud of how it's come out, but it's been a lot of work and a lot of effort. And then I sent something to a client recently and he goes, is this AI generated? And I said, it is. He goes, yeah, I can tell because you got dashes all over it. And I started laughing. I said, really? And this guy is a charter captain, and he's a charter captain. So he's not an AI specialist. And I said, did you actually read the content? He goes, oh, the content's phenomenal. He says, the content sounds like a real person wrote it, for sure. He said, it's terrific. He said, but the minute I looked at it, I saw the dashes and I was like, oh, it must be from AI. Now I just laughed at myself, and I'm like, here I am. I've spent 80 hours, 90 hours, like, crafting this, and then somebody could recognize instantly that it was AI driven. So, I mean, that, emojis, all this kind of stuff. And then the other one that I've realized, I have a guy that I follow, and he's an AI guru, and his content has always uses the word fluff, no fluff. And I'm like, so even to that level, you're like, wow, this is pretty interesting that to the untrained person, because this guy is definitely not an AI technology person, can spot that just based on those sort of little things. So needless to say, I went in and told my AI, like, no more hyphens ever. Anyway, but it's been an interesting process just learning and seeing how that's going.
Yeah, that question, I think it's a hot topic today. Was this developed by AI? But that's going to quickly fade into nobody will know the difference. And AI will become part of what everybody is using to make work happen.
Yeah, so I'll share with you one thing that I've been telling people. I was maybe a good stick in the mud. I don't want to fool with AI person just because I had been doing marketing myself for so long. And I was trying to decide, is this a threat or not? At one point, I decided I needed to just learn what the tool was about. And so I decided that the easiest way to do it was to do it in a non-business way. And so what I did 3 months ago to start my journey was I decided I wanted to, I was listening to a podcast on health and longevity. And they're like, you got to really be on the keto diet. Our ketosis, a ketogenic diet, not keto diet specifically, but just this type of lifestyle for your longevity. So I started looking at what I was eating. It's like, you know what? I'm going to try it. So I pulled out ChatGPT, you put on my phone, paid for the upgrade and said, okay, you're going to be my keto coach. Walk me through this. And I didn't approach it as a business person. I'm going to train it, dude. I just played dumb. I was dumb about it. And I was really amazed at how it guided me through all the daily choices, made it easy. So like I'm sitting in a Mexican restaurant, I said, hey, so I just type in, hey, I'm about to go eat Mexican. Like, I know this is a landmine for keto, help me out. And so it gives me this, okay, great. Order this, order that, stay away from the chips, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I had a great meal and a good time and respected my diet. So after about 3 or 4 weeks of that, Lillian's, who's your new girlfriend over there? And I said, it's a guy, but I said, it's not a girl. Not cheating on you. I showed her what I was doing. I said, this is pretty cool that there's a lot of good things about this intrinsically that it gets and it helps with. And so that was how I got comfortable with the tool emotionally, just to say, okay, I think I understand how it works now, because I was able to fool with this in a non-business, non-ROI, non-money capacity and just get used to the tool. And then from there, it made it much easier to start adapting it into my business practices and putting in place saltwater marketing, because it just got comfortable with it that way. So I've just been telling clients, pick something you're interested in, a hobby, the NBA, your football team, whatever, and just start talking to it every day and on a topic and just get used to what you can ask it and what it'll give you. And I think you'll be surprised at how you can maybe use it and get comfortable with it that way versus having to just say, okay, I want it to do this, that, and the other. And oh God, it's not working. And I've spent X amount of money on it. And like, that's just kind of like the wrong way to approach it, I think, if you're not comfortable with it.
Funny story. I tried to do the same thing with football last season. I'm in a college group that a bunch of old buddies from college get together every year and do a pick 'em pool. So I tried to use I don't pick college football. I'm never any good at it. I always finish last. So I said, I'm going to use ChatGPT, and I had to coax it around realizing that I wasn't using it to gamble. But once we got past that, it started making some picks for me, but I maybe improved by one spot. I was the last. So I was happy to see that ChatGPT wasn't any better than me, but it was probably the information I was feeding it.
Yeah. I don't know. They say that's really what at ChatGPT's core is, that it's predictive, right? So it's trying to predict what the best outcome is for whatever the query you typed in or having it doing. So I don't know. I never thought to use it for that, but I can tell you from my keto experiment, I was very impressed. It had instant information. It remembered my personalization things. When I said, hey, I don't like coconut flakes, quit suggesting it. It never suggested it again. I found it very useful for those things and got really comfortable really quickly. So that was my story.
So AI, that's the topic du jour. Think back over your 20 years in digital marketing and some of the other things that you've seen or that have encouraged you throughout your time. You know, what was some pivotal moments from technology standpoint in... I could think of a few, but I don't know where you're going to go, that have changed the trajectory or got you as excited as AI. What are some of those things back in the day that have had the same impact that you're seeing with AI now?
Yeah, probably I would say there's two, and I can almost pinpoint them in my 20 years. So the first one was really social media in coming about and just all of a sudden seeing what was happening. Initially, it was Facebook, and now it's like this glut of every social media thing, but that social media changed consumer behavior in a significant way that you had to acknowledge and you had to bring in and make it part of what you were doing. You couldn't ignore it. So social media was number one. And then the second one is this. I would say maybe 6 or 7 years ago, you know, when the phones really got easy to use and navigate, big screens, and the Wi-Fi got stable on them. And I just, we saw a massive shift quickly in how people were interacting, even as simple down to people using their phones in the car. And it's, oh, how come they didn't fill out a form? It's they were browsing while they're driving and stopped at a stoplight, looked at it, and they forgot about it and didn't come back. Those are things that like you have to start taking into account, like when you're thinking about behavior of humans. So I just, to me, it's social media, mobile, and now I think AI or just human society changing things that you know you had to adopt and integrate, or else you got left behind really fast.
I thought you may have said the AdWords or pay-per-click in there as well, but I like your two analogies of social media and the smartphone.
Yeah.
You said it yourself. You're fixing to go eat at a Mexican restaurant. You pull out your phone and it tells you to stay away from the chips.
Yep.
Let's wrap this up. For any listeners that are interested in learning more about saltwater marketing or staying connected with you, where's the best place for them to start? How do they reach out? What do they need to know?
Yeah. Easiest thing is just check out our website, saltwatermarketing.net. All our contact info is there. Programs, offerings, got a little bit about me. You'll see my new profile pictures are now all in a baseball cap with a 5 o'clock shadow and a fishing shirt. Usually I've officially gone to the other side. It feels good to be free. So
I read some awesome success stories out there from some of your clients booking 23 trips when their last month was 8.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really good just feeling like we're really making an impact on people and doing something good. So it's been fun. It really has. And like my office has got all the fishing stuff. We're going to Key West at the end of the month. And I'm going to, during the trip to Key West, it's a family vacation, but I have 3 or 4 captains that are like, man, you got to come see us. We'll take you fishing. And that's really what I like. That's the personal connection I wanted out of it. It's just, we go places and just to have friends that go sit, have a beer and talk about see what they caught and that kind of stuff. So that's been the part of it that's really been just a lot of fun to find again. So
interesting. I just thought about targeting that elusive bonefish myself.
Dude, come on, go backcountry fishing in Key West. That's the place to do it.
All right, Andre, really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Bye-bye. This is Bo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bridging Success Podcast. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.bridgenetllc.com to sign up. If something in this episode connected with you, would you mind sharing it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or share it on your favorite social media platform. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media with the hashtag #BridgingSuccess and let them know about the show. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews, they go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, bridgenetllc.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Find me on Facebook at /BJakins or on Instagram at BoJakins. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.